Please pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. By show of hands, how many of you have sat down to watch something, and then when it was over, looked at the clock and more time had passed than you expected? You sat down to watch something, a TV show, and maybe you were watching it on Netflix or Hulu or something, and you just kept clicking next to watch the one, because you didn't want to wait till next week to see what had happened, right? And before you know it, 6 hours have passed. Or you sat down to watch your favorite football game, except you fell asleep during the football game and woke up in the second half of the next football game. And then changed the channel. No. We do things often and lose track of time, don't we? They say time flies when you're having fun, right? Time flies when you're not having fun sometimes too. Time flies when you're busy. Maybe you get into a place, you went to a doctor's visit and you sat down and you said, you know, I've got a few minutes because, you know, I'm at a doctor's office. And you pull up the magazine, and there's a Sudoku puzzle or a crossword puzzle. And you start working the crossword puzzle or the Sudoku puzzle. And they call your name, and you say, but I'm not done yet. I want to finish. No matter what you do, every day of your life, time flies by. And someone gave me a parenting lesson a long time ago when I first had kids. And they said, the days are long. And the years are short. What that means is it may take forever to get them into bed. But before you know it, they're grown and they're moving out. Some of you have told me that again and again as you see my kids up here and the neighborhood kids and any other kids you know. You say, it passes by fast, enjoy it now. And that's wisdom, and I appreciate that because we need wise people speaking into our lives. Time flies, and it goes by faster than any of us are aware of it. And so I think it's interesting for us as a church to think about what it means for our faith regarding time. How do we take care of or live in this world where time passes? And what does it have to do with our faith? Well, there's that favorite word churches like to use that nobody likes to hear, and the word is stewardship. And this isn't just about money, this is about time. Right? We need to be careful with what we do with time because, unlike money, you can't save time. You can't bank it to use it later. As much as we would like, right? Time is either spent, invested, or wasted. And as our faith points us, I wonder what it says about that. Because you see, I think there's two ways you can approach time. There's one way where we just kill time, right? You've never done this, I'm sure. Well, I've got a 6 o'clock appointment, it's 5:45. I'm just going to sit here and wait for the next 15 minutes before I get there. Or, I'm going to hurry up and get there 15 minutes early, because if you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. Anybody raised in a house like that? When we get there early, we sit and we wait. So no matter what we do, we're waiting. What do we do with that time? Do we kill it, or do we use it for something? Well, if you're my age, you probably whip out your smartphone and start playing whatever game you're interested in. If you're older, sometimes you do that too if you have a smartphone and you like games because they have Spider Solitaire. They have Sudoku puzzles. I get addicted to Sudoku puzzles on my phone. Or maybe you just sit and read a magazine that you really don't care about. And by read it, I mean flip through the pages and look at the pictures, right? We kill time, and that's one way to approach it. We just pass it. We passively deal with time. We sit and we watch the TV that is now in every waiting room, playing something we really don't care about because it's usually some random like health commercial or something, right? Or we go to the restaurant and we're waiting for our food and we watch some sporting event that we don't care about, but they've got it on, and that's just what we do. We kill time and we waste it. The other way of dealing with time and living in time is to be an active participant. Being present with whatever it is that you're doing. And the outward activity may not be any different than over here, but what we're doing and how we engage to it is. That same sporting event that's being played that we don't care about, we look at it and we say, oh, that's basketball. They're passing the ball. This team is winning. It's being present with what's going on. Turning to the person next to you and saying, hey, are you watching that basketball game? That guy just got a foul and the referee didn't call it. It's being present in what is going on. Maybe you have 15 minutes to wait. And it's being, okay, I have 15 minutes to wait. I'm going to sit and watch people and pray for them. That person over there looks sad. Lord, help them. God, I'm just going to sit and be because I am so busy being a human doing all the time. I'm just going to sit for 15 minutes and have absolutely nothing to do. And it is wonderful. It's active engagement in what is going on. And that's really the difference. It's not what you're doing. It's where your heart is and whether or not you're there. Whether or not you're awake. Someone who loves me very much confronted me and said, CJ, you spend way too much time sitting on your phone. People talk to you and you have no idea that they're talking to you. They ask you questions and you don't know what's going on. Not hurt. Hurt to the core. I got real defensive and I snapped back. I was not nice to this person. But after they said that, it got to me and it said, you know what, maybe I'm spending more time asleep than I am awake. Maybe I am detached from reality. Maybe I am just killing time and not being active and aware with what's going on around me. Engaging with the people that are nearby. Engaging with reality. I'm spending too much time checked out. And that's when these verses from our scriptures come alive to me. You see, the one that we read about from Revelation, this letter to the church in Sardis. Now, you probably don't know where Sardis is. You probably don't really care where Sardis is. Sardis was a city that was located along the Mediterranean. It's one of the places that had a church built there. That's why there was a letter to the church in Sardis during Paul's time. And Sardis was once, it had this beautiful temple to Artemis, who was the god of life who had come back from the death. And it also had this really big Acropolis, which is another word for fort, up on the top of a hill near the city, and it looked down all the city, and there were walls all around the city. It was a beautiful fortified city. And they believed that because their city was at the top of some cliffs, and there was only one little road up to the city with some really strong gates at the end, that nobody could take the city away from them. They were the Titanic of cities. Right? And what happened to the Titanic? In the year 579, Cyrus showed up. And he surrounded the city with his army and said, you know what? We're going to take this city. And the people in Sardis said, oh, no, we don't have to worry about that. Close the gates, lock them, put the guards up on all the walls. Everybody go to sleep. And they went to sleep one night. And Cyrus sent a couple of rock climbers up the cliff faces, over the wall, down to the gate, who opened it up. The entire army marched into the city while everybody was asleep. And they woke up and found out they'd been conquered. The weird thing is that about 150 years later, they did the same thing. They said, no one can conquer us, no one can get over the city walls. Another army showed up, they locked the gates, they went to sleep. The army did the same thing Cyrus did, climbed up over the wall, went and unlocked the gate, the army marched in, they woke up, and they were conquered again. Short memories, people. Short memories. When this letter is written to them, the Spirit of God is saying to the church, wake up! You are living as if you're asleep. You're living as if you're dead. You sat down on the couch, you turned on the TV, and 4 days passed. And you weren't even aware of it. Your life is passing you by. And God has called you to be so much more than a couch potato. The message to the church in Sardis is to be actively engaged in what God is doing in them and through them in the world. It's a message for all of us. And it's a message that's not just for the church in Sardis. It's a message that came even all the way back in Proverbs. It's a message that was spoken in Greece by the famed storyteller Aesop, who told a story. He said there was one day a grasshopper who was loving the beautiful weather. The sun was up in the air and it was beautiful and wonderful, and all he did was sing and dance all summer long. Meanwhile, there were some ants. And the ants, they were singing and dancing as they worked to gather grain and filling up their anthill with the grain. And as the summer days turned into fall and the leaves began to go down and the grain stopped growing, the grasshopper decided he was hungry. The grasshopper stopped singing and dancing, and he saw the ants carrying all their grain. And he said, you know what? They've probably got a lot because they've been doing that all summer. They've been working hard. And he hopped over to the ants and said, oh, ants, please, please share some of your grain with me. And the ant, now remember, this is Aesop. This is Greece. The ant said, we worked hard for all that we have, while you danced and did nothing. You don't get any. Go and die. Not a very Jesus message. That's why it was from Aesop. But the moral of that story is what we read in Proverbs, isn't it? Consider the ant, you lazy people. Observe its ways and become wise. The ant has no commander, officer, or ruler. Well, the ancients weren't big on biology. Even so, it gets its food in summer, gathers its provisions at harvest. The ant works hard and gathers. It saves what it can so that it can use it at an appropriate time. It works hard while it still can, so that when it can't work anymore, it still has enough to live off of. How long will you lie down, you lazy person? When are you going to get up? A little sleep, a little nap, a little resting your head, and poverty will come on you like a prowler. You will be poor. That's ancient Israel. And the message is very similar. You can let time pass you by doing whatever feels good in the moment. But when the moments have passed and you can't do that anymore, you will look to the person who is actively doing what they have been set out to do and wonder why they have such a full life. What happened? What's different? You can be asleep all summer long, and then in winter, look at the person who was awake. These are just a couple of the stories of time and how we human beings live in this thing called time and how we relate to it as people of faith. And so the message for us may be to wake up. I don't hear any snoring, so I guess everybody's awake anyway at the moment. But the message is to wake up. Be aware of what's going on around you. Manage the time that you've been given. A friend gave me a book to read. It says, invest your heartbeats wisely. For your heart will stop beating one day. But I have to be honest with you, because time management doesn't make any sense. No matter what you do, there will always be 24 hours in a day. You may have scheduled 36 hours in your day. I'm sorry, you can't do everything. There's only 24. It's not time that needs to be managed. It's me. My behavior within time is what needs to be managed. Your behavior within time is what needs to be managed. What you do with the time that you have is the question. How are you aware of what God is calling you to do with your days, with your hours, with your heartbeats? Well, there's a pattern that God set forth when He established His people. You might recognize this word, Sabbath. It's a little different from us, but it's the idea of this pattern of work and rest. And you may have trouble with that rest part. Maybe it's difficult for you to sit still or to do something that you just enjoy because you enjoy it, because it connects you with God. Maybe you're like my dad, who always said that there's always work to be done. Quit sitting still. Maybe you were raised with idle hands are the devil's playground, right? Have you heard some of these phrases? Maybe you've said them. The Sabbath is about being with God and connecting with God. 6 days you shall work and connect with God in your work. And on the seventh, connect with God in your rest. That's a pattern that's set down for us. Work and rest. Work and play. This pattern is one that incorporates both the grasshopper and the ant, which is why I think Aesop got it partially right. There is a time for singing and dancing and celebrating and praising God and loving life. But there's also a time to stop playing and do some work. Because time flies. Tempus fugit. And if we're going to be living in time, we need to be aware of how God may be calling us to use that time. Every time I say I'm old, you all tell me that I'm not. And I agree with you. Age is a matter of comparison. Ask a 12-year-old if I'm young. I'm 3 times their age. Age is relative. Each and every one of us was born at some point. Each and every one of us will die at some point. Our hearts will continue to beat. You know how to check your pulse? Check and see if your heart's still beating. All right, it is. We have heartbeats. We are alive. The question is, are we simply passing through this world passively? Are we letting the world pass us by because we just don't know what to do in it? We don't know what God has called us to do, so we're just going to sit and do what we've always done until God calls us home. Or are we going to engage with God in what God is doing and what God has called us to do? To be God's people. To wake up before we discover that it's all gone by and our city is conquered. I hope you'll choose to live active lives. And that doesn't mean busy lives. Because busy does not mean important. Active means alive. Being active means going to the beach and watching the waves and saying, "Thank you, God, for a world with beauty." It means floating in a boat or a kayak with a line in the water and pulling it out and saying, "Thank you, God, for providing this fish for me to eat, or for the challenge of catching it." And being aware that that is a wonderful thing too. It's gathering together with people around a table and saying, "Thank you, God, for the gift of fellowship, of friendship." And maybe that this will encourage you. Take time to do something. Something you have put off doing. Forbes published an article back in 2012 of the top 25 things people regret at the end of life. 11 of them directly had to do with choices with how people spent their time. The top one is working more than spending time with family. Another one that's in there is putting off visiting that person that you really wanted to visit, but you never really made the time to do it. Another was not making enough phone calls or writing enough cards. Brothers and sisters, we want to live fully into what God is calling us to do and who God is calling us to be. That we may regret nothing, except that we waited maybe too long to begin to live. And so I want to give you a tool. This is a very easy tool. Well, no, it's a simple tool. It's not an easy tool that you can do. After that person who loves me very much confronted me about how I spent my time, I downloaded an app. So for those of you who use smartphones, this app could work for you. For those of you who don't, paper and pencil work just as fine to do this. I started keeping a log of what I spend my time doing. And I can still say that I watch too much TV and play too many video games. But I know that since I started tracking and logging how I spend my time, I'm more aware of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. I finished a book that I started in October because I started tracking my time and said, "I'm not reading enough. I need to spend more time doing that." And I finished it. And I'm halfway through another book that someone said, "Here, you need to read this." Because I've set the time and said, "I need to read more," and I'm tracking it and logging it. And I hope that that's a tool that can help you too. Because when we're aware and we're actively participating in what reality is around us, we can be awake and alive because we know what we're doing and we can work towards our goals. And our goal as a church, as people of God, is simple, right? Love God, love your neighbor. And so I hope, brothers and sisters, that you invest your heartbeats into loving God more and loving your neighbor more. Amen.